Andre Benson, who is not only a colleague of mine, but somebody that I respect and really enjoy. She brings a lot of passion into what she does, conviction. She is professional. She is profound. She helps and empowers people. And she's been doing this for over 20 years. And so, Andre, thank you very much for honoring us with your time. Thank you, everyone that is on the call, for making the time. And I'm just excited. But thank you so much, Andre.
Well, thank you so much, Claudia. It's such a pleasure, such a treat for me to be asked to do this tonight. I'm just so excited. I just see so many opportunities for everybody, and it's just such a blessing to have been asked to be part of your call tonight. So thank you, Claudia, Patrice, everybody, for being on. So that's great.
Well, thank you. I just want to remind everyone of some game rules. Basically, we had to mute the call so that we would have some freedom to have a conversation. In the past, there's usually some static. But if you wanted to ask a question, everyone else on the line, feel free to go to the peermomentum.com webpage. On the upper right-hand corner, there is a link to today's or this teleseminar, and you can click on it. Once you're there, you can submit your questions, and I will review those as we go towards the end of the call, and Andre will address them directly. So thank
Excellent.
You. It's all yours from here on, Andre. I'd like to start on what are these five keys to spectacular?
Magic, just magic. Claudia, I would just ask you for the questions that if you can read them off to me after, because I had to close my laptop because it was just too much noise, and I just wanted to be totally focused on the calls. So, okay.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Thank you so much. So, you know, when I was preparing for this call, I was pretty excited because I've been involved in multi-level marketing or network marketing, as some call it, for a number of years in various aspects. I've been in a network marketing company with Mary Kay, Nikan, with Send Out Cards. I mean, you know, the list goes on. I've been involved with them either for buying products or by being a rep myself. I also had the great opportunity when I was training for Franklin Covey many, many moons ago to teach time management and also, you know, how to manage people, how to relate to people, how to communicate with the new skin people or Pharmanex people. So I did quite a number of groups for them as well. So in some fashion or another, I guess my divine purpose is to work with multi-level marketing companies, with network marketing companies. And I'm in good company. There's a book that I'm going to recommend here to you, Network Marketing for Dummies. It was written by Zig Ziglar, one of the greatest of the greats for sales and marketing. So he says in his book that network marketing, let's not kid ourselves, it's here to stay. Not only is it here to stay, but as he says, it's a business that is worth billions of dollars, in $100 billion a year. And as he says, that's a serious business. So $100 billion a year, yeah, that's pretty serious. I mean, I could handle that kind of money.
I could, of course.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you know what? You can, and that's the beauty of it. So, you know, we're in good company, all of us who want to deal with this. It is the way of the future. There's no question about it. And I am amazed with all the clients that I have. And I have over 50 clients. How many of them, I would say 90% of them, are involved in one way or another with a multi-level marketing or network marketing company in some fashion or another, and in trying to grow and so on. And but I wanted to read something to you before I get into those five key things that we're going to talk about this evening. And that's something from Mary Kay. And this is an important, as you know, Mary Kay passed away a few years ago. And
yes.
She had started Mary Kay Cosmetics, and she started on a shoestring. I mean, she was raising her kids alone. She was divorced at the time. She hardly had any money at all, and she took her savings to start this company. And I would venture to say that she changed so many people's lives internationally with her little pots of cream that she started from her kitchen table. Anyway, I've got this book here that she wrote, and the first chapter is called You Can Do It, and she states in there, there are four kinds of people in the world. This is important. You might want to write this down.
I am.
Four kinds of people in the world. Those who make things happen. Those who watch things happen. Those who wonder what happened. And those who don't know that anything happened. Now, I want to say that if you're on the call, you're one of these people that want to make things happen. You're certainly not sitting back and watching everybody do it. You really want to make something happen. And so let's see how we can get you going. If you're not already going, and if you are going, let's make it even better. Let's make it spectacular. So the topics we're going to touch on tonight, it's talking about, first, how to handle rejection. And I guess, you know, I was thinking about that, and I thought, what is it about rejection that we fear so much? And I think it's, there's the one thing that we fear so much, and that's the word no. I think that's, you know, when you think about it, I thought, what is the one most feared word in sales? It's no, but not just in sales, in any event, when we, you know, invite people to do something, we ask our kids to do something. You remember the terrible twos, and they say, no. We learn very quickly that that's not a good word. And unfortunately, we start then creating a story around that word that it means something about us. But when you think about it, what are people really saying no to? It's not you. It's the opportunity. I know you've heard this before. It sounds cliche, but it really is true. They're probably saying no to themselves as well. They're not sure that they can do it. They're not sure they have the money. They're afraid. And the only way to get out of that is by saying no. So it's a form of protection, perhaps, for them. We don't know what's going on in their heads. All we know, or their hearts for that matter, all we know is that they've said no. If you can get out of your own way and look at it with detachment, much like if you were watching a movie and you're not part of it, you're only an observer, sorry, then it becomes a little bit less threatening to hear no. I was with Mary Kay for a number of years. I made director in 7 months. I had the car. I was part of the Queen of Recruiting Court. I made it on the stage. I got all the jewelry to prove it, and I'm even on the cover of their magazine. So
congratulations.
Yeah, but you got to get a lot of no's to get there.
Oh,
Mary Kay used to say to us, the more no's you get means that there's a yes coming soon.
That's hopeful.
And, you know, it's really about getting out of your own way and just getting out of the negative chatter, because the word no is negative to some of us. But for others, it's just a matter. And for the people who are the doers and not just the watchers, you know, we take the no, we say, okay, move on. And the next no, move on. Because if you stop in your tracks, then guess what? You become part of the watchers. You become part of the people who say no. And one thing that I wanted to bring up, and I brought that up on our coaching call, is about the law of a third, a third, a third. And I want to say, I was working with one of my clients just earlier this week. She's in a network marketing company. And she said, oh, my God, Andre, you were right. It is a third, a third, a third. That being said, it applies to all sales organizations, whether it's network marketing or in a sales organization like CDI College, where I used to work. We used to sell training, or Learning Tree International. We used to sell training. Or Franklin Covey, we sold training. It's the law of a third, a third, a third applies.
Can you articulate?
Absolutely, Claudia. Yeah, thank you. For example, just take the number of people, 30 people, that you're going to talk to. out of those 30 people, you will have 10 people who will say flat out no right away. They're not interested. They don't have the time, whatever their reasons are. You'll have 10 of those. You'll have 10 people who will probably say, yeah, okay, it sounds interesting, but, you know, I'm not sure, maybe not right now. Then you may have 10 who are going to say, yeah, that sounds pretty good. Tell me more. So those are the 10 people that obviously now are no longer what we would call suspects, but they have now become prospects, either for being a client or for being a representative or signing up and becoming part of our team. As you start talking to these 10 and they get to know more about what you're offering, 3 of them will probably say no. It's not the right time, not the right company, or not the right product. 3 will say, yeah, maybe, but you know what, I need to talk to my husband. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, or I'm not sure, I've got to go home and think about it. So you'll have 3 of those. And chances are you'll have 3 who will sign up. There's always one that sits on the fence. So, again, a third, a third, a third. And if you invite 100 people, have a look at it. You don't need to spend a whole lot of time analyzing this. It usually is the rule. So guess what? You need to talk to an awful lot of people to fill, as we say in the sales lingo, the pipeline. You need to have a big enough pipeline so what comes out at the end is the number that you were looking for to, one, either build your team or, one, build your clientele. Does that make sense? Claudia,
that
any
makes
questions?
A lot of sense. Could you just give us some of your words of wisdom as far as what worked for you in building those numbers? Because, you know, often it's, well, who do you know? You start with your closest and then you with their friends. But what worked mm-hmm. for you, Andre? And what
okay.
is working for your current client?
Right. That's a very good question, Claudia. Thank you for asking that. You know, it's not just for me, but it's for a lot of people that I talk to, and I do a lot of research on this. You start by talking to your friends and family, and often, although they do say that that's your warm leads, those are the ones you should go after, it's not always your best place to go, but it does give you the experience. It does give you the training of what to say and how to say it. So always start with that, okay?
Yes.
The other thing to follow is the lead of your upline or whoever recruited you. Follow the steps. They've done it before. If the company has a training, you should follow the steps that they have in place. It's been working. Don't try to recreate the wheel. Just go with what they've given you. And I'm going to talk, remind me, Claudia, I need to talk a little bit more about that in a minute.
Okay.
Okay. Also, Mary Kay had a rule. Anybody that comes within 3 feet of you, you should be talking to them about your company. You should be talking to them about your product. Now, with Mary Kay or with any beauty product or skincare line, it's fairly easy, right? Because you can
right.
strike up a conversation. Wow, you know, I really like that scarf. Or if you're going to give a compliment, please make sure it's honest. Don't go fishing for stuff that isn't there. You got to be genuine. But you give a compliment, you start a conversation, boom, you get to know the person, you exchange cards. The key was to build a relationship. It still is today. You got to build trust. You got to earn the right to do business with that person. Without that, nothing is going to happen. So whoever you're talking to. Now, maybe if you're going to say, well, in health products, maybe that doesn't work. Well, my clients would say, yes, it does work, because they go into a grocery store or a pharmacy or drugstore, and they start up a conversation, and first thing you know, they're finding out about health issues or what have you. Boom, the cards are exchanged. You now have a contact. Attend networking meetings, whether it's B&I in your area, a women's breakfast club, in your city you probably have a chamber of commerce. Look for networking opportunities. Always have your cards with you.
Right.
Not too much documentation, but always have your cards with you and make sure that you're talking to everybody. be genuine, invite people to different events. If you don't have that within your company, you'll need to create those events yourself. It depends on your level of commitment then, which is going to be another topic that I want to talk about as well. Sure. Did you want to ask a question now, Claudia, before I move on?
No, we're right on. Thank you, Andrea.
Okay, good. Important. So that answered your question?
Yes, because, okay. You know, I have been in situations where people, that's the challenge, right? It's getting out there and just getting or following up. Well, first of all, it's getting in front of people's, you know, mm-hmm. presence, mm-hmm. establishing some connection. Then the follow-up. I mean, there is clearly a system. It's a sales system. You get to know them, you establish the relationship, you follow up, then you
Absolutely.
Invite them.
Mm-hmm.
You invite
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
And that's it. It's how committed are you to the business.
Yeah.
And so
and
I,
that's
I really,
what I wanted. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just too excited with this because I really want to get it, you know, understand
yeah.
how do we cope with all yeah. of the little steps, right?
Yeah.
So it's
all yours. I want to talk about time management, but before I do that, I'm going to skip that and come back to it. I want to talk about how serious are you?
Yes.
Are you part-time? Are you full-time? Or are you playtime? Mm. There's a difference.
It sounds
and
like
I, you know, I keep wanting to do research on why is it that when you have a J-O-B, you will show up at 8 o'clock in the morning or 7:30, whatever time you start, and you'll stay till the end of the day or then some, like I used to, and work incredible hours for somebody else and for somebody else's gain. And yet we start our own business, because that's what multi-level marketing is or network marketing is. It's our own business. And for some reason, we don't give it the respect that it's due. We don't give ourselves the respect that it's due. And we use excuses. I'm tired. I don't have time. I'm too busy. I've got my job. I've got my kids and so on. And yet we want to make a success out of it. And the only way that we can make a success out of it depends, it is all dependent on our commitment to this new opportunity that we've just created for ourselves. So you need to ask yourself the question, am I full-time, part-time, or playtime? If you're playtime, no problem. That's good. As long as you know that, then you know how much time you're going to spend at it. Be clear about that with yourself as well as with the people who've recruited you so they don't have false expectations and that you don't create false expectations of yourself and say, oh, by the end of the year, I'm going to be director. I'm going to be have the car. I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing. And then you sit back and you think, gee, I wonder how come it's not happening. Well, one, you're not talking to people. Claudia, you were bang on. You're not following up on your prospects or your leads that you have. You're not keeping in touch with people or meeting new people. So you're not going to get the success that you're looking for. If you're part-time, then again, you know how many hours you can afford to put in there. And everybody's different. And some people are very successful doing something part-time until they grow it to a certain level that then they feel comfortable of saying, you know what, now I want to do this full-time. And full-time is different again for everyone. Some people spend 40 hours at something full-time. Other people do 25 hours, but they do it so concentrated, so focused, that works well as well. And we all know that we'll get to a certain level where this kind of environment can be good residual income. Mm. And I've known national directors who get to a level where it's almost a passive income. They do meetings once in a while, they attend functions and so on, but they're no longer recruiting, they're no longer selling, they've done with that, you know, they've got the Cadillac for life, they've got
yes.
these trips and these things, and oh my goodness gracious, okay? And they've done their work, they've done their due diligence, okay?
Yes.
And that's all part of how committed are you, how consistent are you going to be? So if you say, I'm going to, you know, do 3 hours a week, when are they going to happen? What day? What time? And you stick to that. I'm going to go out and talk to 10 people per day for 5 days a week. when is that going to happen? Where is it going to happen? And I'm going to swing into time management with that because that's where your commitment comes in. You know, I love this saying, there is all the time there is. I have 24 hours. Claudia, you've got 24 hours. And everybody on the call has 24 hours. What we do with that 24 hours is what matters. We all have busy lives. We all have families. We all have a J-O-B or not. And we have, you know, friends and family and so on to look after. Some of us are sandwich kids. We have elderly parents. We have kids to look after. We all have that, but we still have 24 hours a day. What we do with it is what's going to matter in the long run.
And I think that's it's critical to emphasize that in time management, it's not so much what you do hourly. It's what you do, what activities you do.
That's right.
One of my personal rules is not to be attached to the outcome, but be attached to fulfilling the activity.
Mm-hmm.
Because oftentimes people are not going to call me right back. And I get, you know, I get antsy, and then I realize, wait a second. I set it in motion. It will come back.
Yes, and then you do something else.
Exactly.
You pick up another activity.
That's right.
One thing that I wanted to share with you, and this is something that I used to teach with Franklin Covey for many, many years, and I teach this to every single client that I have, is that in time management, in order to be very successful with time management, is to know what you value most. So I would recommend that on a piece of paper right now, you write this down. What are your values? Is it integrity? Is it honesty? Is financial well-being a value for you? Is your family a value for you? What are your values? What are at the key of your being? What is the key of your being? What is your foundation? That's what your values are. So if you were to draw a pyramid, that would be at the bottom of that pyramid. Your values. It's what you stand for, what you stand on. They're the key. On top of that, you would have your vision. What would your vision be? And I'm sure you've all had the opportunity to work through a vision of what it is that you want out of life, your big dream. And on, it could be a number of things. I want to help women in the world, change the life of women in the world. I would like to feed all the children in the world. I would like to stop world hunger. I mean, though, you know, it could be a vision. It's a big, big Jeezly dream, as we say.
Right.
On top of that, you have your mission. Now, mission can be, as in Mary Kay, God first, family second, career third. She lived by that. And the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That was her vision. So those three things, when those are very strong, they're very clear, you need that clarity to move you forward, then you can set your daily tasks based on what it is that's so important to you. So if your family's at the core of your being, and you want to provide for them financially, and you start this new business because this is going to give you the financial freedom that you so want, then why wouldn't you set it up that every day, for whatever period of time, half an hour if that's all you have, or an hour, that now you work on this business because this, for you, is part of your value. That's what good time management is. It's your priorities based on what you value most. Does that make sense, Claudia?
Oh, yes. I'm writing away.
Okay. Any questions on that?
No. I think we're good. It's very important what you're saying because we often see time as, well, I have those 24 hours or I have those 12 hours, but it's the distraction. And the discipline.
Yes.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I have a client who calls them dazzling distractions. I just love that word. When she said that to me, I said, oh, my God, I'll pay for it. I just love it. Dazzling distractions. We start working on something. We're on the, you know, we're getting onto the phone. We do a couple of calls. People say no, they're too busy and so on. Then that phone gets heavy. and we go, oh, I can't lift it anymore. I'll just go to the kitchen and get a cup of coffee. The TV catches our attention, and boom, we're gone. We've lost half an hour. Did you know that when you get interrupted by the phone ringing, the TV, the doorbell, kids running, whatever, it can take up to 20 minutes to refocus on what you were doing?
Wow.
How many minutes a day, how many times a day do you get interrupted in something? Even at work, if you're in a job and you're sitting in your office, you're working on something, you get interrupted by phone calls, emails, people walking in, whatever, okay? Or you interrupt yourself. You start looking at something, you turn your head, you look at something else, and boom, you're gone. And then it might take you 20 minutes to get back to what you were doing before. Imagine the time we waste doing that, okay?
I can. You know, there was a survey that was done on executives. I don't remember the source right now, but they said, where do you spend your time? It was a survey, I think it was by Forbes, and bottom line, all these CEOs across the country, they said that on income-producing activities in an 8 to 10-hour day, they spent only 45 minutes. When I realized that, I said, oh, boy, okay, if I can do 45 minutes on income-producing activities, then I'm set.
Yeah.
These CEOs can handle it. then I'm okay. But when we look at that, what are those 45 active income? Then you start realizing, what am I avoiding? What am I doing?
Absolutely.
I'm making the calls.
Yeah. We're avoiding. We have fear. We really distract ourselves. I mean, there are external distractions that do come in. But just to add to what you're saying about the 45 minutes that the CEOs have on revenue-producing activity, they have, however, the luxury of having a lot of people below them doing the work. When you're in business for yourself and you're just starting up, you don't have the luxury of having all these people behind you doing the work. So your 45 minutes becomes critical. I mean, we're talking here, this is your life, okay? So the more you can prioritize, and here I'm going to say this, okay? You need to get a calendar. I don't care if it's paper-based, if it's a BlackBerry, if it's electronic, doesn't matter. And write down everything. Now, this is a whole other training session. Write down everything you're going to do that day, personal and business. You can divide them up into if you want to. You can color code them. It doesn't matter. But you need to write it down. If you have appointments, you set them out on the calendar. Doctor's appointment, 2 hours. You strike it out. You can't do anything else but that during that time. If it doesn't take 2 hours, bonus. You've just gained some time. Okay? Picking up cat food, put it down. Going to the cleaners, put it down. Those are things that are going to eat up your day. Then you can look, you'll see what you've got left over. And if you say, oh, my God, I've got nothing left over for my business, then you better start erasing and put some time there and say, okay, from 9 to 10 or 10 to whatever time you want, I'm going to do calls. I am going to do my follow-up. That's where your consistency comes in. It's by writing it down so that if you do get disturbed, if you do have dazzling distractions, you can come back to your calendar and say, where was I? And boom, it's right there in front of you, what you were supposed to do. So from 9 to 10, I was doing calls. It's not 10 o'clock yet. I'm still doing calls. From 10 to 11, I'm mailing out some information. 10 to 11, you're mailing out information. 11 o'clock, oops, I got to go make lunch. The kids are coming home from whatever. You set it out. You put that in there. Even your relaxation time. Always make sure you put flex time in your calendar. Otherwise, you'll kill yourself. You need a cushion of an hour or so in case of emergency. If you don't need it, bonus. You just found another hour to call back some prospects.
Yes.
Or to go do some networking somewhere. Or to go meet new people. But you need to set it. You really, 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 really. I can't stress that enough. You need to write it down. when you start doing that, you will notice the difference, because you can always go back to and say, oh, I have a client, wonderfully successful young man in Quebec City, who said to me today that he actually has to put down his jogging on his calendar, otherwise he won't do it. Mm. He has trained himself, because he has a job, he's writing a screenplay, he's got three young kids, he's married, he's got, I mean, he's busy, okay?
Yeah.
And he's also an inventor, and yet he manages to do it. Because he writes it down. It's not foolproof. I mean, there's days that it just doesn't happen because life happens, okay?
Right, right.
So, you know, life happens. Be kind to yourself when it does. Just don't use it as an excuse all the time. That, well, I think life's going to happen.
Right.
And prepare yourself for something. But if you put a cushion in your day, chances are that if there is an emergency, you'll have it there. And if not, as I said before, at least you've got that time to do something either revenue-producing or productive.
Yes. Yes, I want to remind everybody on the call that you can submit your questions for Andre on the puremomentum.com page. You can just go to the upper right-hand corner of the website on the homepage, click on Discover the Five Keys to Being Spectacular, and once you're in there, you can find a Q&A. On the left-hand side, at the bottom of the page. So, Andre, getting back here, this time management, thank you for putting it together, because you're right, life happens.
Yeah.
And we often, and I find myself doing this, we disconnect from, well, what does really matter? Plus the distractions, and we just get caught up. And eventually, you know, it's Thursday already, and oops, I'm only getting started.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate the calendar idea. You know, I have my to-do list, but oftentimes it's like, okay, what's coming up tomorrow? Can I commit to this more?
Yeah. If you have a to-do list, you're already ahead of the game, okay? This is good. It's good, Claudia. The only thing you need to add to that is to prioritize it. And to make sure that your priorities are in line with what you value most, what your vision is, what your mission is. What do you want to accomplish? Okay?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that. That was very valuable, Andre.
My pleasure. One thing that I also have my clients do is look at what is their purpose, which, of course, is their vision, right? And just have a look. What do you love to do? What are your values? You know, what do you value most? What do you know most of? And the reason I'm bringing this up is because when you decide to go the route of network marketing or multi-level marketing, as I said, you know, it deserves the respect of having your business. This is your business. You deserve the respect. It does as well, because it's yours now, okay? The key then to start committing to it is by making sure that you're in the right place at the right time. And that's why these things, these questions are important. So when you join up with a company, I don't know about anybody, but ever join up with a company that just didn't fit? I did. And it wasn't because the company was bad or wrong or the product wasn't good. It just didn't jazz me up. So imagine trying to prioritize that in your day if you're not jazzed up about it. And the company had beautiful values. And it's not that they weren't mine necessarily. They were good. It just, the product itself and the way they were doing the training just didn't work for me. Worked for a whole lot of other people who were doing extremely well, however. So when you're about to get into something, even if you're already into it and you're not sure, you don't seem to be spending the time that you should, you keep looking for dazzling distractions and making excuses why you can't do it, just ask yourself, what do I love to do? What are my values? What do I know most? What are my interests? What do I like to learn? What really jazzes me up? And what kind of people do I want to be surrounded by? Do your research. If you find beforehand, before you sign up, that, you know what, this doesn't fit, I don't like cosmetics. I do, but I mean, if you find you don't like cosmetics, why would you get into a cosmetic company? If you don't like taking supplements, why would you get into a wellness company that sells supplements? If you don't like exercising, why would you get into a company that says sells exercise equipment unless you plan to change your life? So make sure you're in the right place. Also, as part of the research, this is so important when you're finally committing to all of this. Does the company offer training? Will your upline support you? Is there a lot of support in the company? If there isn't, how are you going to get trained? Who's going to help you to get your recruits? Who's going to help you sell the product to move on up? If that doesn't matter to you and you're prepared to do it on your own, okay. But if not, and you want the training and you want the support, and then all you're doing is complaining that you're not getting the support, you're in the wrong place. Cut your losses. Look for another company. It's not the company's bad. It's just not the company for you. So think about when you're approaching prospects, perhaps they've been in another company before and they didn't get what they wanted. That doesn't mean that you're not going to give it to them. So sometimes it's worthwhile investigating first for yourself so that you can always see what the other person might be coming at you with the no for, because they don't trust yet. And it's only by exploring more what's building that relationship, earning the trust, that you'll be able to find out what's going on inside. What was the no for? What can I find out about this person? Where may I be able to help? Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And what comes to mind is the idea that when you know what you love to do and what you know the most, it can help you build those events or those activities that you can invite them to.
Absolutely.
Because obviously
you're so excited.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
And they'll feel you. You know, one of my favorite quotes is, it's not what you say or do, it's how you make people feel.
Absolutely.
And so it's about welcoming them and honoring common values.
Absolutely.
And from there, establishing the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very good
very,
point.
Very, very important.
You weed out those that don't buy it, that simply
mm-hmm.
just don't, would not work well with you.
Mm-hmm.
You pre-screen.
Absolutely.
That's
yeah.
great.
And whenever you feel your enthusiasm going down, always have a look again. You know, review, revise, restart. Those are my three R's. I live by those. Review, revise, restart. You know, what am I doing? Why is it not working? What's going on with me? Because it's usually something with me, not something with them. And then restart. So maybe I need to jazz myself up again. Get that enthusiasm going. Call somebody who's is hyped up, who's excited about, you know, what they're doing and so on, if you feel yourself coming down a little bit. Because it can be difficult. It can be lonely. You're at home. You're doing the calls. You're getting a lot of no's, and all of a sudden you're feeling, nah. Call somebody who's jazzed up.
Yeah.
Get a boost.
That's it.
Create that relationship with the people around you, whether they're your downline, your upline, your sideline, doesn't matter. Connect with people, same or like-minded people, where you can get that community environment. By the way, being part of something, that's, you know, the Maslow, the pyramid, Maslow's pyramid, those are basic things. That's one of the basic needs, food, shelter, being part of a community. We like that. We're human.
Absolutely.
We love being with people. So find the right place for you, and then there's no limit. There's no limit to what you can do in these companies. The only person that can stop you is you. Honestly.
I get you.
And that's a whole coaching thing that we could do.
Yes, we can. And I'm sure everyone on the call can relate.
We won't go into that tonight.
No, we won't. But it's certainly the issue, right? It, for me and many that I know is the issue of getting in your own way, and the number one issue is rejection.
Absolutely.
And fear of coming across as pushy or...
Yeah.
You know, it's totally a projection because it's still issues we're dealing with ourselves.
Yeah, because we don't even know what they're thinking. And
no.
yet we're projecting. They're going to say no. They won't like me. They'll think I'm pushy. We don't even know that.
That's right.
It's lovely how we do that.
Yeah, we're experts, that little mind freak, the little voice.
Yes, mind freak, absolutely. That's why I say get out of your own way. It's if you can come at it and, you know, that again, and all kidding aside, it is a coaching thing. If you can look at it with detachment, it isn't about you. When you're with somebody, you now become a coach. When you're trying to recruit somebody or you're training somebody to be on your team or even you're talking to somebody who's going to become a client, you are now the coach. Your role is to ask questions, to shut up, and to listen. To listen for what's said and, most importantly, for what's not being said.
Mm-hmm.
You need to find out what those objections are. So that you can answer them, so that you can maybe offer an answer to the person about that objection. But if you're not listening and you're thinking about your next question, or you're thinking about, I wonder what she's thinking about me, oh my God, how can you ever build that relationship? So these are skills that I teach when I teach people how to coach. Ask questions. Ask powerful question, open-ended question to make it simple, okay? Get a lot of information out of these people. Listen. Two ears, one mouth. Listen. And then reflect back what you've heard.
The person
will feel that, oh, my God, she's listening. He's listening. Oh, my goodness. You'll start to build the trust.
That's right. And which is, I get it now. It's critical. But we often feel we have so much value to give, and we just want to give it to them. And they're not ready for that. They're not ready to receive because all of a sudden they feel invaded. And clearly it's about them, not us.
It's all about them. You're already recruited. It's all about them.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. We have a question here, and that is, what happens when you love the product?
Mm-hmm.
But there's still this stigma around the multi-level marketing.
Ah, yes. Whose stigma is it?
Clearly the person's.
Tongue in
cheek.
How do
you overcome that? You know, how do you overcome that, Andre?
I think the stigma is out there. There's no question. I'm not going to lie to you about that because I, you know, face it every day. I think, first of all, for all of us who are involved in multi-level marketing or network marketing, is for us to not project that, for us to become clear that we're good to go with this. That's where it's got to start. It's with each individual who's involved in whatever company you're involved in, to be clear that what you are offering is a good service and a product. If you yourself have a stigma or have a taboo about, oops, you know, that's not a good thing to do, or I'm pushy because I'm in multi-level marketing, then you're going to project that on the people. The people who already have this kind of a barrier to
it's a
you.
Limiting belief.
But that's their barrier. You may never be able to convince them.
Right.
And I'd like to say this about that. We're not out there to convince people. Yes, you may influence people by your excitement, by your success, by your presence. But that's all that you can do. If you're just trying to convince people, then it will look pushy and brass and all this kind of stuff. That, you know what? I would say that 95% of the companies out there are solid. They're good. Their values, their core values are really, really good. There have been a few that have been and that's created this stigma. But I'll tell you, nothing happens without a sale. And as I said earlier, you know, this is why I find this you know, now I find it funny because I used to think it was such a stigma myself, and now I'm knee-deep into it, you know, every which way but loose. But, you know, I remember working in a college, for God's sakes, and we were actually paying for referrals to get students in to take the courses at $10,000 a pop.
Wow.
If that's not sales, I don't know what is. And for some reason, there was no, you know, it was like, oh, but it's education. It's sales. We were selling, and our people were paid on commission. And I was the director of that college. So, you know, I mean, it's nothing happens without a sale. But first and foremost, a return to that, and I hope this answers the question. I think we have to find it in ourselves, the belief that not only do we love the product, but we are doing a service, and we are doing a great service to a lot of people. And the people who see that, you will change their lives. But you can't force it on anybody. And, you know, some people just will never buy into it.
Yeah.
I hope that answers the question a little bit.
Yes, it does. It definitely addresses it. I have another one here. It says, I've heard of many stories of MLM folding under their downline. Is this that common?
Folding under their downline.
Yes, foldering. Folding, I guess, basically quitting or just not helping them.
Oh.
Giving up on them. I guess this is MLM jargon. I'm not familiar.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know all the companies, obviously.
Yes.
That's my next project. I'm sorry?
Have you heard of or?
You know, in any company, and I hope I'm getting this question right. In any multi-level marketing or network marketing, you'll find individuals that join up and they don't want to do the work. They'll recruit a bunch of people, but they don't want to train anybody, and they don't want to be the lead. You know, they really don't. They're just in there for themselves. Okay. And network marketing in its purest form is teamwork. Because you all have to work together. The upline's got to help the downline's got to help the upline as well. I mean, because it's a constant motion. It's a thing that's in motion. It's very fluid. But you will get companies that don't do that. And you do get companies that are a little bit under the radar screen, and they get caught, and eventually they're shut down. The government shuts them down. I know in Canada, you know, there are very strict guidelines for that. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you might get recruited by somebody that's not quite as in integrity as they should be. In that case, you know, I know you could address yourself to somebody above that and see what you can do about, you know, maybe getting trained by somebody higher above, or even contact the company. I know that we, you know, at Mary Kay, you would certainly have that opportunity to call somebody at corporate if the issue was that serious.
Yeah.
Or, as I said, you know, you could go to another director or a senior director, somebody a little bit up above to say, you know, can you help me with this?
Yes. That makes a lot of sense. Very good. Thank you, Andrea.
But it's like anything, you know what, Claudia? I mean, I've worked with, and I won't mention company names, and I'm talking about a J-O-B here, with people that were so out of integrity and just, you know, right down to verbal abuse and so on. And these, you know, I mean, they're company, corporations, you know, and you think, wow. So it's, they're, you know, human beings. You hug them and you say, you know, I wish you the best, but, you know, I don't want to work with you anymore.
That's right.
Yeah, they have
so
their
own.
So
let's see, we've covered some on handling rejections, time management, consistency, setting
relationships.
Yes.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about relationship. One thing that I'd like to add about relationship is setting boundaries.
Yes.
Learning to say no. Especially when you start building a team, some of the people that you recruit may be asking an awful lot out of you. One thing that I've, you know, learned over the years is always work with the worker bees. So you might recruit a nice team. Some people really want to work, and you can tell who those people are. That's where you spend most of your time. Doesn't mean you don't help the others, but keep in mind always revenue-generating activity, okay, unless you want to start a not-for-profit organization, in which case, you know, you might not want to be in multi-level marketing or network marketing. But it's key that you focus your energies where you need to, because, as I said, there's only 24 hours a day. You need to know where you're going to focus that. So learning how to say no is important. People always rescheduling on you, changing, you know, times and dates and so on. At some point, you need to set some boundaries of, you know, this is what my expectations are, this is what my intentions are, and so, you know, we will need to follow this course of action. That's not always easy to do. Boundaries is something that, as a coach, I spent, you know, a whole session on just setting boundaries. So, but that's key in a relationship, whether it's in your love relationship as well or with your children.
Right.
There should always be some boundaries, even with your boss if you're working in a corporate environment. There's certain boundaries that can be set of what you will and will not accept from others, and that's key in building these relationships with mainly with the people that you're surrounded by in your team.
Yes, you know, I noticed in working with some clients myself that it's the boundaries, but as well the expectations.
Yeah.
I've worked with some clients where the team is all dependent on them, and they feel they need to support them.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've come up with is, well, you know, make individuals accountable for specific areas of the business.
Mm-hmm.
So that others can go to that person, and they're not overwhelmed, but they also feel appreciated and acknowledged for knowing.
Absolutely, and then it builds more accountability, more responsibility within the team, and now you have other people who are trained who can help you in future training as well.
Yes.
Absolutely, Claudia, that's very good. Awesome. So, yeah, boundaries, expectations, they all have to be set up front. It makes for a much better relationship in the long term, so that people will say, oh, you never told me that.
Right.
Well, you know, you set it up at front.
Right, when the
when
last
the relationship's
thing, good.
I'm sorry?
Right, when the relationship's good, like a prenup.
Exactly. I love it. The last thing I wanted to talk about is, are you burning out? Are you looking after yourself? Because we're so busy with everything that we do, and I know you all are, because you wouldn't be on this call, it's very, very important that you even set boundaries with yourself of what you will and will not accept, or what you will and will not do, and that includes making commitments to yourself. Balance is key. If you're all work and no play, you're going to fizzle out, because you can't do that forever. And if, you know, some of you have kids or aging parents or family members you have to look after, or the J-O-B as well, or pets. I have three cats. They're very demanding. And a teenager. It's important that you build into your schedule time for yourself. And you're going to say, oh, Andre, when am I going to do that? Because I just set my calendar up, and I've got all this revenue-producing time, and I've got my J-O-B and the dry cleaners and the cats and the dog and everything else. But it is important that you look after yourself. Some of you may have seen the Wheel of Life that Harv Eker has in Success Tracks or on his website. From integrative coaching, where I come from with Debbie Ford, we use something similar called the life wheel. And it's basically looking for balance in every area of your life, whether it's spirituality, health and wellness, your financial well-being, your primary relationship, your kids or your immediate family, I should say, your home environment as well. Rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 in these areas to see, you know, how does that, you know, how am I doing in these areas? And if you rate yourself as a 7 or lower, then it's an area that maybe you'd like to look at. Anything below a 5, you really should seriously look at it. In health and wellness, if you're rating yourself a 2, it might be a good idea to see your doctor. and to see if you need to, you know, get a new diet or get a new exercise plan or something to look after yourself. Because guess what? We all want, you know, financial freedom. We all want to be successful and to get to a place in our lives where not only are we financially successful, but and our families well taken care of, but that we can actually give back to society. But if you're not healthy, if you're not well, you won't be able to enjoy all of that. So it's very, very key that as part of your plan, you look at that and you say, what do I value? I value my family. Well, God's sakes, I want to be around there to see them grow up and to be with them and so on. So it's important that that part is looked after. If spirituality is a big part of your life, or religion, whatever you want to call it, then, you know, perhaps there's something in there, too, that you need to look at. And it could mean, you know, a 10-minute prayer every day or meditation, whatever, you know, whatever floats your boat. So those are areas to look after, to really see if you have some balance. Once you have a better balance, it'll never be perfect. Life happens. We're human. But if you have a bit better balance in your life, you'll start feeling a little bit more energy. You'll start feeling a little bit more productive. And every day it starts getting better. Then you might say, oh, I'm working too many hours. I got to set some boundaries. I'm spending too much time with so-and-so. Oops, got to set some more boundaries. You'll be able to review, revise, restart. If you can look at this without judgment, without beating yourself up, without saying, oh, my God, I'm so stupid, I'm so this, I'm so that. Once you start beating yourself up, you can't see what's on the other side, what you can do to get better, because you're in that state of denial or resistance or negativity. But if you can look at it, as I said before, I use the word detachment. It's to just look at it without judgment and to just say, oh, okay, I need to make some changes. Review, revise, restart. What do I need to change?
Right. Very good, Andre. Thank you.
I could talk forever about this.
Well, you know, that's
do you get that feeling?
Oh. I love you for that. We have about two or three more minutes left, but I'd like to let everyone know how they can get a hold of you. But before I do that, I have one last question.
Okay.
That says, what to look for to identify a good MLM opportunity from a bad one?
Look, very good question. Thank you for whoever. And by the way, all the questions have been excellent. But I just wanted to say, look for a company that's been around for a while. That's a good start, okay, because you can tell if they've been around for, you know, 10, 15, 30 years. They're usually fairly solid. They're not going to close up shop tomorrow morning. Find out how many people there are in the company, how many consultants or independent consultants they have, and if they're in other countries as well. So those are things to look for. Find out about the product. The product's got to jazz you up, so, you know, that's very, very important. Look for training. That's key. Look for training. You know, what kind of support, what kind of training are they going to give you? So it could be a startup company. And by the way, I'm in a startup as well. That's a little bit scary, but it's for me it's safe because I have another one solid. But this one is a brand new startup. That's exciting because the door is open to anything. I can create what I want. The scary part is that we don't know how solid it's going to be, okay, because it's brand new. So depending on your level of fear or of risk-taking, and I'm a risk-taker, so depending on your level of risk that you can take, you know, you might want to measure that. I hope that answers that question.
It does.
Training
it
is
does.
Key. Training is key.
And the people, yeah. I would say, too.
Yeah. But when people say, oh, no, we don't do any training, you're on your own, I would run. Just
yes.
Like, oh, no, no, no.
Absolutely.
No. Unless you let me design it, and then I'm okay.
And I would figure, right, it's the level of comfort that you have around the business that you would feel comfortable in a startup.
Exactly.
Because you exactly. know how to ask. You can lead and
yeah, exactly.
and guide.
Yeah.
It could be pretty empowering.
Yeah, for me, it's a training company, so I think, well, the worst can happen, I'll design my own, you know, so it's it was safe that way.
Well, wonderful, and congratulations, Andre, for staying loyal to that. After all these years, started with Mary Kay, I think you had an awesome head start. I want to let everybody know that all the books that you referenced are on Andre's homepage on the puremomentum.com website on the right-hand side. She referenced a couple books, even the, what was that, the Art of Positive Thinking.
There's the Network Marketing for Dummies that I recommend as well. I can't remember if it's on the website or not, but that's a must-have. That's a must-have as far as that is concerned. So, there's a great website, too. It's mlmu.com.
Yes, we have that as well.
Okay, good.
And there's your website, Synergy Leadership. Can you tell people a little bit about what's coming up for you? You told me you were coming up with
a book. Oh, absolutely. I'll take 2 seconds to tell you that I'm so excited about that, but then I'm excited about everything, right? I'm co-authoring a book right now with my chiropractor. She's way into wellness, way more than I am. And we're co-authoring a book on it's called Wellness on the Go. At least that's the working title. Whether the editors will leave it that way or not is yet to be seen. We're almost done, so look for it probably just after Christmas. But you'll see it on my website anyway. So that's Wellness on the Go. I also have a series of children's books coming out that is at the publishers right now. I'm not too sure when that's going to be launched, but it's a series of 13 books.
Ooh.
On coaching skills for kids.
Fantastic.
And I think it's well needed in the in the world.
In schools, basically. And parents.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it uses characters, animals, so you know, it's for younger kids. And I'm also developing a program for children on coaching, like a one-day seminar. So
fabulous.
Look for those coming up in the spring.
I will pursue a teleseminar on that because as parents, and I know many of us on the
call. Oh, okay. Absolutely. Well, it's almost finished. I almost finished writing it today. And the other thing, too, is that I'll be offering, starting in January, you'll see that specifically on my website, and I'll send you the link, Claudia, a teleseminar on what we did tonight.
Yes.
But you can imagine, it's a 5-week teleseminar. And in great detail of what we covered so very briefly this evening. So look for that starting in January.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. And I want to invite everyone to go to your website, find a way to connect with you so that you can let them know when your book comes out, but also on those teleseminars that you're coming up, because there's so much value into what you do and getting it deeper, getting it from a one-to-one also, but more so the perspective and staying in the mindset. I think it's that energy that you talked about. We need to stay motivated. We need to walk the talk. We need to be the brand that we're selling.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I know you do. You're passionate. I could see you. I love you.
Claudia, I love you too. Thank you. I mean,
this
has been such a blast. But if you guys come into my website and you give me your email address, I will be sending you my free newsletter.
Well, thank you.
And in there, it's going to be chock full of all kinds of stuff for you. I'm a researcher, right? So you'll have all kinds of stuff to look at. So.
Well, good, because I know I have several clients on this call, because I said, you've got to be on it. And they're going to sign up. I know it. So thank you, Andre, for your time.
Oh, my pleasure, truly. It's been a blessing, and I truly, truly appreciate you inviting me this evening, and I send blessings to all of you, and good luck with your businesses. I want to see senior directors all around, and diamond level and so on.
Well, thank you. I am too.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank
you,
bye-bye. Thank you for being on the call. Another peeremomentum.com teleseminar. We shall have more coming up your way. We're having an event here in San Francisco on Saturday. If you have or know of any events around the country, let us know. We'd love to promote and help you build your groups, your sphere of influence. That's what we're here for. Thanks again, and have an awesome rest of the week, and we'll see you online or in person. Thanks. Bye.